All right, welcome to another episode of the Hashtags and Habits podcast. My name is Danny White, and I am happy to welcome my friend Kevin Williams to our virtual podcast stage today. Kevin is a world-class certified speaking coach and best-selling author who empowers individuals to unlock new opportunities and to elevate their speaking capabilities. Through his wealth of experience and his expertise, Kevin enables people to craft their perfect elevator pitch and to excel at networking events, empowering them to take their professional journeys to the next level. Welcome, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing super fantastic, Danny. And you know what? I'm doing so good. If it get any better than this, I'll be triplets.
Okay, that's good to know. All right. Okay, so share with us a little more about your business and how you arrived at this stage of being a world-class certified speaker and teaching others how to do public speaking and to craft their elevator pitches for their business.
So, Danny, back in 2014, we launched Team Vision LLC, and it was a marketing agency, but we could never get it off the ground because we were still doing old school marketing, like putting flyers on people's cars, and then we come back, the flyers on the ground and that type of thing. And so we just never could get it off the ground. And so and this went on for 2 years. And so in 2016,
not you doing the same thing for 2 years, though.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, looking for a different outcome, right?
Yes. Because so if I had seen the flowers on the ground for the first time, I would have left and not done it ever again.
I picked them up and put them on the next car. I know, right?
You better than me.
And so someone told me about, in 2016, someone said, Kevin, check out Toastmasters International. You may be interested in it. And so I looked into it and I had visited a couple of Toastmaster clubs, but I fell in love with the club that was called High Noon. Now, this is in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I joined High Noon Toastmasters. They met every Friday at 12 noon, and they would get everything done within 60 minutes as it relates to speaking and all this kind of stuff. And so I was really impressed. And so 3 to 5 months into the club, they were having the world champion public speaking. And I'm saying to myself, well, I don't have nothing to lose. I'm going to do it anyway. And this guy named Chris, the year before, he went to he went all the way to D.C. that year. And that's where the World Championship of Public Speaking was held in 2015. And though he did not win, it was just the fact that he got all that experience. And so this is a guy I got to go up against. And it was five of us on the club level that participated in the speech contest. And so when the judges came back, that, you know, they said third place winner, XYZ, second place winner. I forgot who the second place winner was. No, excuse me. Second place winner was Chris. First place winner was Kevin Williams. Now, on the outside, I showed calmness. On the inside, I was battling, saying, these jokers messed up. I know they wouldn't call him. They didn't mean to call my name. They meant to call Chris' name. But sure enough, it was my name that was first place. And so on the club level, first and second place gets to go to the area level for the state of Arkansas. And so on the area level, you have like 20 plus people from, you know, different regions of Arkansas that is participating to go to regional based on whoever wins the area level. And on the area level, only one person is going to regional. Okay. So, you know, the competition is getting pretty fierce at this point. And so we all delivered our speech. The judges came back and they said third place XYZ. You ever notice when I say third place XYZ?
We don't because that person.
Right. That's why they name XYZ. Second place is Chris. First place, Kevin Williams again. Now, at this point, I really got to get together and accept that I'm going to regional. And regional was going to be held in Mississippi that year. And so Wendy, who was my girlfriend at the time, it's my wife today, took off from the hospital to travel with me to participate in the regional contest. This is on a Saturday evening at 6:30. And so I'm really getting laser focused, not taking any phone calls, just like totally getting in the zone, right? Because to me, this is like the NBA. Mm-hmm. This is the like the one. NFL. Yeah, NHL. And so that evening rolled around. And this time we had like 40 plus people at the regional level. So the competition is beyond fierce. Mm-hmm. It's incredible because you now get to see a lot of true talent that you wouldn't see at the club level. And so we all delivered our speech. And then I felt so confident that I felt so confident that I had already visualized myself accepting the award, even mm-hmm. before the judges came back. So when the judge came back and started making the announcement, you know, third place, XYZ, second place, I forgot the gentleman's name. And then when he said first place, I had taken one of my legs as I was headed up towards the stage. And he said, Mario Nolan Dillard out of Memphis, Tennessee. I'll never forget that day. Never forget that day. And I just paused. Let me ask you this question, Danny. How would you have felt at that moment, knowing that you had already visualized yourself, knowing that you felt like you had there was no competition, even mm-hmm. though the competition was really good there? How would you have felt not to hear your name called and you making your way towards the stage?
I probably would have felt bad because you've put in the work to get to this stage, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of like the teams that play for the NFL, like they get all the way to the championship, they get all the way to the Super Bowl, they get like right there where you can see it,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't happen. So probably would have felt like a major letdown.
Oh yeah, I was feeling all those things that was not good energy.
Yeah.
It was so bad that when I looked up into the audience then and I looked at Wendy, she had this look on her face as if it looked like her head had spinned around three times, like demonic style.
No, not demonic.
Like, you, like I, what? Kevin, what the? You got to be kidding me.
Yes.
I've taken off work, traveled all this way to Mississippi with you just to hear you tell your story in third person?
And so was it your story or was it
No, it was someone else's story. It was somebody else's story. And so when she came up to me and looked up at me and she said, help me understand. Why did you not tell your story?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked back down and I said, I feel like I didn't have a story. And she looked up at me and she said, do you realize your whole life has been a story? But she said, you know what? What got you here won't get you there.
Right.
And that stuck with me, Danny. And so when I went back to the club, I was asking who would they recommend for storytelling coaching? And they recommended Craig Valentine. Mm-hmm. And Craig Valentine was the 1999 world champion public speaking. He joined Toastmasters in 98 and won the world champion public speaking in 99. He won with a lisp. So that's who I coached with. And that year I went on to speak to over 30 organizations, businesses, and companies. And I just always say, this mouth of mine has been running ever since.
That it's a really inspiring story. But roll back to the point where you're telling someone else's story as your own. And a lot of business owners, we can feel like we don't really have a story. Mm-hmm. Now, some people will say, okay, yes, I do have a story to tell, which because they've gone in and done that like inner work to pull out those elements. But how do the majority of us tell a compelling story that is our own? Like, how do we pull out the elements that matter to our audience?
So as a certified speaking coach, our job is to, well, first of all, let me say this. Speaking is 10% talent,
mm-hmm.
90% tools. We teach you the tools.
Okay.
So when I say tools, like there are foundational tools that you use for storytelling. Mm-hmm. So like there's what we call the 9 C's of storytelling. Okay. And from that, you can take any story that has happened in your life or any situation that has happened into your life, and you can craft it into a story that will resonate with the audience.
Right.
So that's what we do.
Gotcha. So don't give us all nine, but what are like the first?
I think
two
you muted three? Out, Danny.
Oh, can you hear me? Hello?
Okay. All right, go ahead. What did you say, Danny?
Is it me or is it you?
It was me.
Okay, so don't give us the nine because there's a program that is behind this, right?
Right, right.
But give us the first two or three elements okay. of that toolbox okay. and why they're important.
So three of the nine C's of signature storytelling. Number one is curiosity. You should always open up with some type of curiosity. Mm-hmm. Now, in the speaking world, we call it the ABCs of speaking. Either okay. A, open with a question. B, begin with a bang. Or C, create a compelling story. Okay. So that's where curiosity comes from. So for example, I may say, you know, raise your hand if you feel like where you are right now is not where you should be. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's called curiosity, right?
Right.
That's the moment that I quickly engage the audience. Okay. Number two is characters. Who are the characters in the story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you notice, when I was sharing with you my story, you heard names like Chris, right?
Mm-hmm.
You heard a name of Wendy, right? Mm-hmm. You heard Mario, right?
Mm-hmm.
You heard Craig Valentine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those were the characters.
XYZ, the unknown person.
Right, right. The unknown person. Yeah. Yeah. Number three is circumstance. What's the circumstance going that's happening in the story?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three of the nine C's.
Gotcha. Awesome. Okay. So let's say that you have a small business owner who wants to learn about public speaking. They want to get better at public speaking. And how would you tell them to go about adjusting their language to better connect with their audience? So sometimes people, let's say that you're a very technical person, right? You're very steeped in the technical jargon that is in and around your field. It might be engineering, it might be artificial intelligence, and whatever that might be. How do you go about coaching them to adjust their language to connect with maybe a less technical audience? Because if you think about it, most people read and understand at a ninth grade, eighth grade level, right? And sometimes when you've gone to that level in your career, you understand all the jargon, but the people you're talking to don't understand that.
Right. So here's another story. Just recently, I did career day at a school called Davis Elementary in Carrollton, mm-hmm. Texas. And I came in as, you know, being a professional speaker and a published author. And my audience was first, second, and third graders.
Right.
Now, here I am, Danny. I'm watching all these other professions come in, right? They're bringing in flip charts and all this other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I just have myself and my glasses. That's it. And so we had breakfast before we went into the classroom. And I was listening to some of the adults saying, oh, God, I'm so nervous. What if they don't, you know, pay attention to me and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am saying to myself, Kevin, everything that you've been teaching your clients, your day has come.
Right. Yeah.
I go into the classroom, Danny, and I'm dealing with first graders. Okay. And they're the first grade kids coming into the classroom and then they give it over to me. I stand up in the middle of the carpet. Okay. And I said, repeat after me. Good morning, Mr. Williams. They go, good morning, Mr. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, it's good to see you, Mr. Williams. It's good to see you, Mr. Williams. And I say, class, it is so good to be seen. Right then and there, I created engagement with them, right?
Right.
And then I said, raise your hand if you ever seen the show Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Probably half the classroom raised their hand. And I said, we're going to do Kids Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what you're going to do, I'm going to call you up one at a time. And you're going to come in the middle of this red circle. And you're going to say, hey, sharks, my name is, my favorite color is. And when I grow up, I want to be. And you're going to tell the class what you want to become.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one of those kids did that, Danny. And do you know what? They didn't even realize they were doing an elevator pitch.
Oh, wow.
They was doing an elevator pitch. And so I was teaching them with them not even knowing how to project your voice. Because I say, now you got to say it with energy. Right. How to, you know, say who you are. You know, just using a favorite color, right? And what you want to become when you grow up. They were doing a kid's elevator pitch.
Right.
And so, I did that with the second and third grader. And it was so phenomenal, Danny, that teachers were coming from other classrooms trying to figure out what was going on in this classroom. And they were saying, you need to be a teacher. I said, no, ma'am. I'm where I need to be.
Right.
But in business, you think like a CEO, but you communicate like a third grader. Because if a third grader can understand what you're saying, you don't even have to worry about if adults can understand. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. So if the kids can understand, the adults can understand too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. So you've done a lot of speaking engagements, like, over the years. How do you suggest business owners go about getting speaking engagements? First, it starts with crafting their pitch, what story you're going to tell, all of the nine elements of storytelling. But how do you suggest, after they've reached that stage, what's the next step for them? Like, how do they pitch themselves to speak at conferences or workshops or webinars or things like that?
So you first have to create what I call the aesthetics. You have to show on these social media streets that this is, you know, what you do in spite of being a business owner. I speak on the topic of whatever that topic is that's in your industry or profession, right? You have to let people see that. Because just because you have learned the art of speaking doesn't mean that people are going to reach out to you.
Right.
You know, people think that's what it looks like, because we show that, you know, we show you what's happening with us. That's the end result. But no one sees what I'm doing behind the scenes.
The process, right?
The process, yes.
Yeah. Cool. So let's switch a little bit from public speaking to networking.
Okay.
And talk about the elements of networking that I know extroverts have their own way of networking. And it
They talk too much.
And introverts have their own way of networking, which
right,
is
they,
not
they, all, they say nothing.
Talking off.
right.
So tell us, like, the differences between introverts and extroverts and how both can excel at networking events.
So let's talk about go ahead.
I'll say for myself. So I'm an extrovert. I mean, an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. I force myself to be extroverted in certain situations, but it's not always a comfortable space. And I feel like it can be more comfortable than what it is. However, the majority of people that are around me for some reason are extroverts. And so they're always my wing people when I go places. So how do you avoid that type of handicap, right? And be able to, like, stand on your own as an introverted person?
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing about introverts is that they are forced to learn a technique or a strategy or a tool or a key, whatever you want to call it. Once they learn that tool, they become great at it because they had to learn it. As you know, for extroverts, we can wing it. Now, we can wing it so good you don't even know that we're winging it. But introverts, they're forced to learn it. The thing about introverts is that what they have to understand is, well, here's an example. Deion Sanders is not an extrovert. People think he's an extrovert. Deion Sanders is an introvert. But he has created an alter ego that's called Primetime. So when he's in front of the cameras, he's not Deion Sanders. He's either Coach Prime or Primetime. And that is how he has mastered that, you know, being drained and all these type of things, because he's in this alter ego at that moment. And now when he's no longer in that alter ego, he goes back to being Deion Sanders, who just want to be around his son, his daughters, his mom, just his family. He don't even care about the cameras.
Right.
So you have to create an alter ego for yourself. And that's for introverts.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll work on creating an alter ego.
Yeah. And Danny, you know what? You're getting much better, because when I first met you, you didn't even want to participate. You have gotten to the point to, oh, you didn't. No. No. Or if you had to, you could just tell you wasn't pleased about it.
But this, like, but participation.
Yeah, but you are learning to say, it seems like you're having this self-talk to yourself saying, Danny, you're in business now, and so you got to turn your alter ego on, and you have to show up. Right. And just know when it's over with, you can turn the ego off and you can go back to being Danny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. True. It's very true. Yeah, I like the idea of creating an alter ego. And some people might say, oh, well, you should just be yourself wherever you go. But sometimes being yourself is not always your best self. Right. And so that alter ego can help a lot. Okay, so for extroverts, give us, because I feel like we can learn from the extroverted community.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some tips that they already practice.
Talking. You can, you know, talking. I mean, they're gonna approach you. They will approach you. Mm-hmm. Extroverts tend to always want to stand out, so they may laugh. So the laughter grabs people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Extroverts tend to be attention. They have attention seeking behavior. I'm one of them. Like, I'm going to always figure out how I can stand out and not blend in. Mm-hmm. So even when going to networking events, and, you know, some places they, you know, give you a name tag to put your name on there. I don't put my name on there. I put speaker. And so, because I know it's going to create some type of conversation. Are you speaking this evening? I said, no, I'm a speaker. Right.
Mm.
I'm always doing something different.
Right.
I may wear an outfit that's going to stand out. I think we all should do something to stand out. No one should just be blending in.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you can learn from extroverts.
Okay. And when you go into networking events, what is your... What are the, I guess, the steps, or what are the things that you do to stand out?
Name tag, if I have one, clothing, you know, whatever clothing I have on.
Mm-hmm.
I may walk up to someone and I actually got this from one of my students, but I like how she does this. She says, do you mind if I meet you? Right. Okay. That's like totally different, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, who's going to say, no, I don't want to meet you. No,
no, I mean, if they
do,
no.
Well, if they do, then I mean, either they on meds or something. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. But that's like, I was like, that's really cool. And that came from an introvert.
Right.
Yeah. Nice. So, yeah, you could do something like that. You, when you're meeting someone, and this is something that I'm recently adapting, Danny. It doesn't always, the first question doesn't have to be when you ask, you know, when you introduce yourself, is what you do. You may say, what's your favorite color? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. When the last time you traveled somewhere? Like, just, it's what you're doing. You're catching this person so off guard because they're so used of this routine of, so what do you do? What do you do? But when you kind of like catch people off guard, it's they really begin to engage you because it was something that they have never experienced.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. Okay. So let's go back to the customer-centric language focus. Like, how can companies train their employees or their contractors to use that customer-centric language in their daily communication, like emails, social media, SOP documents, proposals, things like that? How can they train everyone, even if it might not be an employee, even if it's a contractor or a vendor, to speak on their particular language?
So I'm gonna give you the cheat version. You ready?
Okay, let's go.
They can use ChatGPT. You can have ChatGPT say, you can say it just like this. Write me an email to a client or a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Communicate this email as if they are as if they're in elementary, or you can say as if they're in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
But keep the language to where it's understood that you can say keep the language to even an elementary person or a middle school person or a high school person can mm-hmm. understand.
Right.
That's it.
Okay. And then once they have that documentation or that initial draft from ChatGPT or any AI writing tool, how do they communicate that to their audience, like their team? Like, how do they make sure that their entire team is on board?
Then they can do it they can take that and tweak it. They can do it in the form of a story, right? Because we have grown up listening to stories. They could do it that way.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your program, your storytelling program. When does it start? What will people learn? And where can people sign up?
So the world-class signature storytelling masterclass, they can simply go to teamvisionmedia.com and click on coaching. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I always say is, let's just do a one-on-one discovery Zoom session. Now, there is an investment for us to do that, but I can really drill down to understand what the story should be about.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point, make a recommendation of what we need to do to move forward. So that is from the speaking aspect. If it's about, you know, mastering or excelling at networking events or crafting a perfect elevator pitch, again, on the same website, teamvisionmedia.com, they click on coaching, they can schedule a one-on-one with me. In reference to the book, Unlocking Opportunities, you know, excelling at networking events and crafting the perfect elevator pitch, they can, you know, grab a copy of that book. And I highly recommend grabbing a copy of that book, because you're going to get value from a $20 book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just getting value from a $20 book to just kind of help you think about things when you are at networking events or when you craft an elevator pitch, or, you know, in chapter 3 talks about introverts. Right. It's going to say, you're going to say to yourself, okay, if I got this much value from Kevin's $20 book, I can only imagine what I'm going to get if I just level up and let him coach me.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So get a copy of the book, sign up for a consultation, and then eventually sign up for the storytelling program. Teamvisionmedia.com. We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, and on all the promotion. Are there any specials or codes that you're running right now?
No. This is March Madness.
It is.
Yeah, hey, it is what it is. You know what? I'm glad you asked that question, though, Danny. Here's what I always say. People who pay will pay more attention, and you have to invest in yourself at the level you expect results.
Right. That's a good point to keep in mind. Okay. So as we wrap up, I'd like for you to share your top business insights with our audience. Could you give us a condensed guide? Because I know you have a very long one. Can you give us a condensed guide, perhaps 3 to 5 minutes worth of like your most valuable advice for our audience?
Yeah. Let me just give you the acronym for pitch. Okay, because whether you are a business owner, whether you are a college student, whether you're seeking a career in corporate, okay, the acronym pitch is going to help you understand that no matter what setting that we're in, we're always pitching to someone.
Right.
So the P in pitch stands for being precise. Be precise in what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The I in the word pitch stands for impact. Make sure that your conversation or your pitch is impacting the people's listening ability. Mm-hmm. Okay. The T is for target. Make sure you understand who your target audience is when you're, you know, pitching one-on-one, or if you're pitching to an entire group. Like, for example, for me, when I'm pitching, I want to make sure that I'm resonating with introverts. So I'm going to make sure introverts know that this pitch is for them. I want to make sure I'm resonating with people who have no degree. Okay, that you still can do a lot of amazing things and not have, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, degrees. Okay, so that I know who my audience is, because I don't have a degree. The C stands for, you know, being clear. There should be clarity in your pitch. When you're done pitching, whether it's one-on-one or you're talking to an entire audience, that pitch should be so clear that, again, who should be able to understand it, Danny?
Third graders, second graders, third, first graders.
Exactly. Yeah. Elementary kids. Yeah.
Yes.
And okay. Then the H in the word, in the acronym pitch, stands for hook. What's the hook? What draws them in and keeps them in to want to say, oh my God, I can't wait till he or she get finished. I need that person. That would be my advice.
Very helpful. Pitch, P-I-T-C-H, but use that acronym as you're developing your elevator pitch, as even as you're networking with people as well. Kevin, any final words that you want to share before we close?
Oh, you know, we don't even have to close. We could keep doing this ever. No,
oh, no, we got to close.
I know. You know, here's what I would say. Whether you're in the networking event arena, just keep unlocking opportunities. You don't know what person or persons has your key. But if you're not communicating, if you're not networking, then you'll never receive the key to unlock that door. And understand this, networking will open more doors than any degree ever will. When it comes to professional speaking, be world-class about it. Don't just be a speaker. Become what I call a world-class speaker.
Awesome. Thank you for that advice. Thank you, Kevin, for your time. Teamvisionmedia.com, the website, the link to the consultation, the link to the program, and the link to buy the book will be in the show notes. Thank you all for listening, and thank you, Kevin, for joining us today.
Absolutely.